and increasing donations too. Thank you for supporting KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 33rd Real Music Film Festival running through February 8th. Real Music explores the live interplay between sound and image, music and culture. Saturday, January 16th will be The Theory of Obscurity, a film about the Resnants, released in 2015. Don Hardy's film tells the story of the group's start in rural Louisiana, its artistic awakening in the late 60s San Francisco, and follows its members to present day, where they are all still actively creating and performing. That's January 16th at 9:30 p.m. at 1219 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information on the films and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The music playing is Interstellar Dub by DJ Mad from Portland label Zam Zam Sounds. I'm Andre Middleton, and this is Art Focus Radio on KBOO. I'll be hosting Art Focus on Tuesday mornings from 11:30 a.m. to noon on a bi-weekly basis, alternating with Joseph Galavan. Thank you for joining us today. My guest is Eleanor Ford of the Cherry Lukic Project. But first up, some local art news. The Regional Arts and Culture Council will be offering a new funding opportunity for regional nonprofits and art organizations. It's called the Arts Equity Grant. It provides financial support to organizations in Multnomah County, the City of Portland, conducting arts and culture programs for communities of color, immigrants, refugees, underserved neighborhoods, persons with disabilities, the LGBTQ communities, and other underrepresented communities. The goal of this grant is to provide further RAC commitment to ensuring that everyone in our region has equal access to the arts and the fundamental rights to express their culture through arts. The application process goes live on January 4th with a deadline for letters of interest on February 24th. Visit http://rack.org/grants-online and click on the grant programs and deadlines link to learn more. Coming up in January, the Youth Arts Exhibitions Hope in Motion, Inspiring to Hope to a City, their first ever group exhibition of new works featuring compelling artists 22 years and younger. The exhibition will run from one night only, Saturday, January 23rd in 2016, with doors opening at 6:30 and the show running from 7 to 10 p.m. The exhibition is open to all ages and will feature a stunning fashion show with some of Portland's finest boutiques produced by Brandon Gaston, the Life Stylist. Find a youth art exhibition on Facebook to learn more about this event. Well, Cherry Lukic is a curatorial project based out of a garage in Northeast Portland. Its aim is to integrate the qualifications of exhibiting contemporary art. I'm sorry, to interrogate is a better word. Cherry Lukic also seeks to return established artworks by mid-career artists, which are typically shown in traditional white box galleries and other institutional contexts, to a site more resonant with the physicality and the economically precarious production, i.e. basements, warehouses, temporary structures, and other environments. In this way, the artworks become more accessible to the project-oriented communities, you know, people that are living from day to day, check to check, so of the Portland art scene. Cherry Lukic recently received the Precipice Award from PICA and with support from the Andy Warhol Foundation of the Arts and the Caligram Foundation with Ali Fertulli. So, Eleanor, welcome to Art Focus. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
No, it's been my pleasure, my pleasure. So, before we get really deep into this, can you give me a little bit of your background and how you discovered your need to be an artist slash curator?
Yeah, well, I grew up in a rural community up in Washington State, east of Seattle. And really being exposed to the arts through institutions, through the Seattle Art Museum coming down to Portland, and really staying mostly on the West Coast and not having exposure to like the main institutions on the East Coast, really put me in a place where I've always considered art something that's open and accessible and not really boxed into like norms. So I grew up in a scientific family, but the arts was always like made a priority, which was really fantastic. And then when I came down to Portland for college, I went to Reed College. The same thing was really resonant in Reed's program. I did art history, and it was very much based in non-normative functions of art. And so I think it's not that so much that I had an unboxing from a traditional idea, but I never really had a traditional format to begin with, which I think is a great place to start off with in terms of education and in terms of exposure, that you're not told that this necessarily needs to be in a museum.
Right. Yeah. Right. And while I, not to challenge that notion, but I think that living in a Western society, there are certain paradigms or there are certain limits that still trying to convince us what normative is.
Definitely.
You know, whether it's music, you know, oh no, music mm-hmm. needs to have a more of a classical background, or it needs to have these kind of instruments, or yeah. painting needs to reflect this kind of aesthetic. So it's really thrilling to hear that, you know, here in 2015, you know, a person who grew up, you know, in the heart of, you know, the technology alley of the Seattle yeah. area has been able to look outside that paradigm and look outside that normative, you know, indoctrination, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that actually there's a certain, there's something to be said for the almost emptiness of, or the non-industrialization of the arts community in the Pacific Northwest. We're really lucky to have the institutions that we have, but I don't think that those players try to dominate what other people are doing. So there's a lot of room, and I mean, growing up in rural Washington, being exposed to a lot of indigenous communities, and having that be a main priority in terms of the education that I was given in public school, having that be at a forefront, just as an example, and the way that I think that growing up in the Pacific Northwest can really lead you to consider a more global, non-normative framework from the very beginning, which
right.
I really have always appreciated.
Right, that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, granted, I think that Portland, I mean, I think that the Pacific Northwest is relatively young in comparison to the East
Definitely.
Coast and the South, but I think that inherent in its development as a, you know, region, that there always has been a relationship between indigenous populations, whether mm-hmm. they were here locally as far as the Native community, or even, you know, peoples from the, you know, from Southeast Asia
yeah.
who, you know, are part, you know, part of trade routes. So like, it's great to see that that level of culture was able to seep into, you know, the basic conversation that they, that you got to participate in.
Definitely.
So one of the things also I'd like to talk about is, well, you know, when can you recall your first need to have arts and culture to be such a big part of your life? You know,
yeah.
were you an artist? Was it always more towards curatorial work? What was the first, as you can recall, switch that flipped for you?
Yeah. Well, I think I was attracted to art as an art history student and as an artist. I've always made and been a creator in certain ways, in ways that a lot of people don't really ever see, but they've always been extremely fulfilling for me. But as a student of art history, I found art to just be an amazing tool to interrogate and investigate the strangeness, the injustices, the histories of every nation and the histories of humanity as a whole, not to put too grandiose a point on it, but I found it to be just an amazing way to get to know the world around me. And then leaving school, still remaining a student, of course, but leaving school and being kind of tossed into this really vibrant community of the Portland art scene, I never really considered curating a goal of mine. And in fact, I kind of shy away from the idea of myself as a curator at this point, because it has such a power dynamic that's tied to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have found that like a passion of mine is to bring things to people and to engage conversations around those things and to have them be extremely challenging and vital to everyday life. And so I guess that really leads you into curation.
Right.
It wasn't so much the cart before the horse. It was the horse driving the whole thing.
Well, it's interesting. Speaking of your evolution and your progression, I think it's fair to say that Portland, Oregon has grown, at least in recent times, to have a real DIY maker aesthetic.
Definitely.
And I was curious to think, you know, to ask, what experiences that you've gone through has either contributed to that aesthetic from your perspective or shaped it in some way? I mean, the project you're working on, you're literally creating it inside of a garage, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that exemplifies that, you know, hey, we can do this. We're going to put on a show, you know, let's get some lights, let's get some music. So what are some personal anecdotes or experiences that you've gone through you think that has had a real impact on this for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the project space community right now especially is so vibrant, and being exposed to that and having that be a really open place for dialogue to happen, so that when I left school, I graduated in 2014, I immediately found a community that was open towards conversation and engagement over these subjects. Before then, I mean, even as early on as middle school and high school, I was going to house shows and to a lot of like punk music happening in rural areas, in homes, and all of these sort of things, which obviously Portland has an enormous house show scene, ranging from, you know, classical performance to punk to hip hop and everything. It's so vibrant. And so really being in a place that the home was given the importance of being a venue. And I mean, the project space scene in Portland has grown from explicitly garage-based projects as well. So Appendix and Car Hole happening, you know, about 5 years ago, I think they closed. But experiencing sort of the end points of those as I came to Portland, and really understanding that doors were open, you kind of just had to open them yourself. And I try to emphasize that when I speak about, you know, being young and in an art scene, is that you can bust out and you can find things that and find spaces where there are still things that need to be done and things that need to be said. And
right.
Yeah, that's kind of the experience. Yeah.
It's interesting. When you said the word bust out, you know, I had an image of reaching a broader audience and reaching a broader context. And it occurred to me as you were saying that in essence, you know, how are you communicating with your cohort and realizing that your cohort today is much broader than your Reed, you being a Reed alumnus?
Yeah.
You know, your cohort, you know, obviously, you know, we say the generations span 13 years. So there could be people, you know, 7.5 years on either side of you that are coming up in the same environment, no matter where they're from, you know, whether they're from Northeast Portland or Southeast Portland, whether from Scappoose or Estacada.
Yeah.
How has it been a challenge for you to connect with a broader audience, considering your geographic location and some of the issues of gentrification and displacement that have been happening, in which pretty much, you know, a ground zero of change?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, our space is located in Northeast Portland on 7th and Mason. So it is off of the Albina Street area, but it still is, you know, it's a predominantly Black neighborhood, and with so much intermingling that comes with that generally. And being in that space and occupying that space, and the house that we function out of has been a house that's been passed down by artists and rented by artists for, you know, probably about a decade, really. There's kind of an oral history about it, where everyone that comes by is able to remember something that happened there, a show that happened there, performance that happened. So that history has been a really big reminder of the fact that no matter what we put on there, we are functioning within a community and within a historical memory. And especially being in that neighborhood, we're functioning within a historical memory of a part of Portland that I think only begins to be spoken about in the context of gentrification, which I think is a shame.
Right.
It's similar to the talking about how artists are now being displaced by gentrification without a recognition that everyone who's being displaced before then was also artists.
Right.
And that this isn't a new thing.
Right.
And so really recognizing that and trying to be a collaborative member of the community that we share in our block, you know, and having relationships with the neighbors that we are next to and who will come to our shows as well, which has been really lovely. But entering into our second year, we're really trying to prioritize an outreach and publicizing an open door policy so that people will feel like they can come and interact with us. On our front, I think we give a very institutional feel, which is purposeful. But as people, myself, John Knight, and Kaya Racapiso, my collaborators, are deeply involved in the arts communities within institutions like Reed and PNCA, but also just within social groups. And we try to remain as open and friendly, explicitly friendly to everyone that might want to speak to us about our project or speak to us about things that aren't our project.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah.
So you mentioned this your second year. Mm-hmm. Last year, as I read a bit of the background on you, you guys had programming from Alex Felton, mm-hmm. Mark Harris, Paula Wilson, and Ella Ga. Mm-hmm. You've got a show opening up upcoming in April.
Yeah.
Who do you plan on having at that time, and how does this portend for the rest of the year?
Yeah, well, so I being in a garage, and we like to call ourselves tenuously roofed, so our roof is very leaky. So in the rainy season, we hibernate, we go underground, and we'll be emerging in the spring when we can count on a little bit of sunshine. Our first show in April is the first West Coast show of Henry Kodaks, who is a monochrome painter, a contemporary monochrome painter, kind of playing off of the histories of monochrome and the really the importance of color and form within contemporary art that is kind of spawned from modernism. And his bringing his show to Portland has been a real treat. It's been a pleasure, and we're really excited to be able to show it. And we're really hoping that this will be a great kicking off point in order to incorporate other aspects like music and performance into a visual arts programming. And in that way, reaching out beyond just being paintings on a wall. So, yeah.
Right. So, but then, you know, what do you have in mind as a follow-up? I mean, do you have a theme or thread for the year, or is the space helped define that, or is this coming from you and your collaborators?
Yeah.
What's their process like?
Yeah, so all the curatorial work is done collaboratively between me, John, and Kyle. And we've really worked this year to try and bring in a wide variety of artists working from different contexts, both contexts of identity and contexts of accessibility and success. There are a lot of people that we're bringing that have ties back to Portland or are currently in Portland. And that includes following Henry Kodaks' show, we're bringing Arnold Kemp to town, who was previously the chair of the MFA at PNCA. Mm. And he is just a fantastic asset that I think Portland has had for so long. And now that he's over on the East Coast teaching at VCU, we're excited to bring him back to a community that...
What is VCU?
Virginia Commonwealth University.
Thank you.
So bringing him back and bringing a show that really allows him to reconnect with the community. His work has been featured in so many galleries in town, and it's really great to see people recognizing him, but we really want to bring him into a project space context and make it extremely accessible. And a part of that is also to bring him to town and have him engage with the communities in a similar way to how he did when he was a professor here.
Now, when you say project-based, that gives me the impression, that's what I want to ask. Mm-hmm. Do you foresee your artist that you're, are they doing work specific for the space, taking the space's, you know, connection with the community, its location and context, or are they just bringing work that they've already done for other places?
No, actually, and that's been a great thing about developing our second year is that we're really emphasizing that the work being in being placed into this space in this context is for this space. Our first year, we were really lucky to get such a wide number of artists, but a lot of the work was pre-existing because right. we were working on such a short schedule. Now we've had a little bit of time to really be very mindful about the large breadth of people that we want to bring in, whether it's people of a certain age, people of a certain background, and people who have connections to Portland or don't, but we really think that the community could benefit from being connected to them.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned in your, or at least I mentioned in your introduction by reading your website, that you guys received the Precipice Fund Award. What was that process, and how is that going to impact what you're doing?
Well, I think, and I've written about this in the past, and I've been involved in the Precipice Fund previously as an intern, but the Precipice Fund has ushered in a renaissance in terms of the accessibility of funding to younger, just starting projects and artists and communities. And I think that there's been a history of outreach like that in Portland through RAC and through Oregon Arts Commission and all of these really great organizations. But the Precipice Fund has really made it, especially within the smaller grants, it's ranges from 500 to 5,000. So pretty small bundles of money.
I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, but 500 in Portland makes a huge difference.
Right.
And I mean, we received, just to be candid, $3,500, which will allow us to have our second year without us, you know, going completely broke. Our first year was completely funded out of pocket, and that's nothing to complain about. We're extremely lucky that we were able to do that. But just the amount of it's really what the Precipice Fund will allow us to do is to bring people to town, and that's what we want to prioritize, is the ability to facilitate direct engagement and these kind of critical conversations. But we are so grateful for the Precipice Fund. And I think that every grantee that received it this year and people who applied and weren't given the prizes, it's such a great group of people. Organizations like Homeschool, which is going to start an art school, Ocho Echo.
Right. I'm looking forward to those.
Oh,
meals.
My God, they're going to be so good. So I think that it's a great opportunity to just see the vitality that's happening in town as well.
Well, cool. So following up on you bringing people to town, I think, obviously, you know, we would all love to see your work to be seen by as broad an audience as possible. And I'm sure that the people you're going to be coming in are going to be thrilled to be able to show in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's in, you know, a gallery in the Pearl District or a gallery off of Albina in the Ainsworth Corridor,
it's
great that they're going to be able to have that communication. But, you know, at the same time, it's interesting to think about what kind of conversation that we're trying to have with a specific community.
Yeah.
And how do you think you're curating this with your collaborators, and in essence, you're sharing that conversation. Who are you trying to connect to, or better yet, what are you trying to say? I can't imagine just throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah.
You know, what's the question, you know, that you're trying to answer?
Yeah. Well, I think there's something to be said for the inaccessibility of certain forms of art, especially in contemporary art, and especially in the contemporary art market. And I think that there's something to be said for bringing work to spaces that it's not normally brought, not in a colonizing way, but in a means of expanding accessibility. And so we have seen our actions happening in multiple different, having effects in multiple different ways.
Mm-hmm.
In part, we hope that it encourages young people from every background to engage with art not in a way where it's like you get an internship and you work your way into the system and the fatigues of that and really the precarity of that, but rather making spaces for yourself. And understanding that it's important that be expanded beyond the idea of people with MFAs, the idea of people with higher education. So that's part of it. But also just the fact that we're a domestic space in a neighborhood context, and especially the neighborhood that we're in, trying to connect with our neighbors and trying to connect with institutions around, such as like churches, and it's a church heavy organization or neighborhood.
Right.
So really understanding that there are so many different social bubbles and like places that might be able to add to our conversations, and that we might be able to open up a space for conversations to happen, whether they be about the art in the wall or just the neighborhood as a whole. Having an openness and an open door is really important to us. And so at this point, what we're meditating on right now is how to really make that outreach a very prioritized thing. Now that we have our programming, what we're doing is thinking about what we can add on to that in order to make our space as open to other communities as possible.
Great.
Yeah.
So where can people find more information about this particular, your space? Mm-hmm. Where is your space? Mm-hmm. And how can people interact with it in the future?
So our website is cherianlucic.com. And that's L-U-C-I-C, Cherry and Lucic. And we'll be updating that with the upcoming shows and everything like that. We're getting a Facebook page going. It's not up yet. But we're located in Northeast 7th and Mason, just on the corner there. It's a greenhouse. And we do accept people coming to the space with notice to talk about art and that sort of thing. And so our upcoming shows are going to be posted on the website, and we'll have more news as those things come up. Yeah.
Great. Well, let's see. God, where do I go next? Well, everybody, unfortunately, normally this would be the point where I would say you can find links and photos at our website at blah, 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 blah. But with the holidays, I forgot to update the KBOO Art Focus website. So something I have to work on this afternoon. So don't go there yet, because it's just a blank space. Let me wrap up and make sure that I remind people that, once again, the Regional Arts and Culture Council will be offering a new funding opportunity for regional nonprofits, if you missed that earlier. It's called the Arts Equity Grant. It provides financial support to organizations in Multnomah County and the City of Portland that are conducting arts and culture projects and programming for communities of color, immigrants, refugees, underserved communities, persons with disabilities, LGBT communities, and other represented peoples in our region. To ensure that everyone has equal access to the arts and fundamental right to express their culture through the arts. The application process goes live on January 4th, so just around the corner, with a deadline for your letter of intent on February 24th. Please visit http://racc.org/grantsonline and click on the grants program and deadline link to learn more. Also coming up next month, the Youth Art Exhibition's Hope in Motion, Inspiring Hope to a City, is having their first group exhibition of new works featuring compelling art from artists aged 22 years and younger. The exhibition will run from one night only on Saturday, January 23rd, 2016, with doors opening at 6:30 and the show running from 7 to 10. The exhibition is all ages and will feature a stunning fashion show with some of Portland's finest boutiques, produced by Brandon Gaston, the Lifestylist. Find the Youth Art Exhibition on Facebook to learn more about this event. So if you're just joining us and you missed most of our show, there will be a podcast on demand sometime this afternoon later on our website. Eleanor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
It was a great conversation.
Real pleasure. Yeah.
And I look forward to not only visiting the gallery, but continuing this conversation in the real world.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. As you all know, it's my goal to introduce the listeners of KBOO to a broad spectrum of regional artists. If you're a visual artist in any medium, I'd love to have you or your organization on the show. It's also my goal to share information relevant to artists and the art community as well. So when I learn about residencies, grant deadlines, call for artists, you hear about it on this show as well as find it on our Facebook page, KBOO Art Focus. Right now we're going out with the music from Danny Skrella from Portland's own Zam Zam Sounds. Thanks, Ezra, for giving me this music. Thanks again for joining us today on Art Focus on KBOO Radio, Portland, Oregon. Take care. Peace.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 12 noon. Coming up is Buscando America right after these important announcements. So keep it locked right here on your community radio, KBOO. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the NARA New Year's Eve Sobriety Powwow on Thursday, December 31st from 1 p.m. to midnight at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland. Grand entry will be at 1 and 6 p.m. with honorings, Ed Goodell as the whip man, NARA All Nations drum as